The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon, the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without paying. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, nor two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. In whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. And as you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town." The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Today we will have our annual parish meeting after the service. Most times I preach a shorter sermon and cast a vision for the parish during the annual meeting. But our gospel today so lends itself to the work ahead for our parish that you'll get a slightly longer sermon and a slightly shorter rector's report. Now, I will warn you, I'm going to cover some difficult ground. If my words offend you, I am deeply sorry, and I apologize in advance. However, if instead the message of the gospel and the call of the Holy Spirit offends you, I make no apology, and I pray that you will listen and turn to God. And most of all, I pray that we will be able to discern the difference between my words and the words of God. We re-engage the Gospel of Matthew today. The season of Trinity begins on different dates each year, and so our lectionary journey begins in different places in the Gospel each year. This year we begin the season following the Sermon on the Mount and the description of Jesus' ministry following his lengthy teaching. Remember that we can see Matthew structuring his account by alternating descriptions of teaching of doing. There are five major descriptions of the teaching of Jesus called discourses. And in between, we have the ministry of Jesus as he lives out or calls us to live out the teaching from those discourses. Our gospel today lies between the Sermon on the Mount and the next major discourse, the sending of the 12, the instructions to the apostles as they go to proclaim the kingdom of God. So in between these, what we've missed in our lectionary is the ministry of Jesus as he went about in the region around Galilee. This ministry of Jesus is described includes 9 named healings and many others among crowds were cured of their afflictions. Three short teachings on the cost of following Jesus, on the need for mercy and not sacrifice, for healing and not condemnation, and the instructions about fasting. Two proclamations of authority. The centurion who proclaims Jesus as having authority, and the disciples who recognize the authority of Jesus over the wind and the waves as he calms the storm on the Lake of Galilee. We also hear the calling of Matthew, the tax collector. Our text today begins with a summary of this tour de force in the region of Galilee. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Listen to the actions of the kingdom: teaching, proclamation, and healing. And here in the heart of Jesus, he saw the crowds and had compassion. Compassion, literally suffering with. Compassion with suffering. Suffering that Paul tells us produces endurance. And endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. The compassion of Jesus remains. And as we suffer, Jesus is pouring love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Jesus calls us to the same compassion as we look at those around us and see them suffering, to suffer with, to love with the love of Christ. Jesus then prays in his compassion for the people who wander lost without a shepherd. He prays for laborers in the vineyard. And this prayer is answered in the calling of the 12. The 12 who represent a wide range of age, experience, opinion, and piety. We have the fisherman, the tax collector, the nationalist, and the one who betrayed. There are many things which could divide these 12, but they are united in following Jesus. And Jesus gives them authority. The authority to cure diseases and to cast out demons. Then he sends them out to proclaim the kingdom and to manifest the kingdom, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cure the lepers, and to cast out demons. He tells them to trust in the provision of God and to discern where the Spirit is already moving ahead of them. As we journey through Matthew for the rest of the year, learning to be disciples and to make disciples, we see a model in this text. Spend time with Jesus. Go where he sends, doing what he does, and invite others to encounter Jesus and participate in the kingdom life by entering into the name of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Spend time with Jesus. Go where he sends and do what he does, and invite others to encounter live in Christ. Spend time with Jesus. Listen to what he teaches and watch what he does. Encounter Christ in the body and the blood at this table. Encounter Christ in the Word as it is made flesh among us. Friends, the Bible is most effective when it is opened, when it is read, when it is lived, not just the parts that we like, not just those few verses that we take out of context to tell us that we don't really need to be changed, not those few verses that we take out of context to weaponize and tell others how they need to change, but the entirety of the Scripture that transforms us and conforms us into the image of God that we are created. We encounter Christ as we gather together and are formed into the body of Christ. We joy and healing of the least of these among us. We begin a journey of discipleship by spending time with Jesus. And then we do what Jesus does. We proclaim the kingdom of God and manifest the kingdom of God. In the midst of a world that proclaims the primacy of the flesh and the individual, a world that deals in division between us and between us and them, a world that uses the exclusion to create the illusion of power. In the midst of this world, we are sent to proclaim the power of God to heal and to restore, to reconcile and unite. We proclaim the power of divine love that has defeated the power of sin and death. We proclaim Christ crucified and risen, and we manifest the authority and work of the kingdom. In the power and the name of Jesus, we heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, and cast out demons. We think the world around us doesn't need the power of the gospel and the manifestation of the kingdom. We simply need to look at the past few months. As we encountered the COVID-19 pandemic, the associated outbreak of both selfishness and the refreshing emergence of selflessness, we are called to bring hope and healing in a time of fear and plague. And now, in the past several weeks, we've encountered the demons. Paul tells us that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We've seen the demons of racism and tribalism. The lies that say one person is of more value than another. The lies that we believe about ourselves and about others. The demons that tempt us to deny our part. The demons that encourage an understanding that is soundbite deep. The demons that tell us that sarcasm is a spiritual. Demons that try to deflect our attention away from the truth and the power of the kingdom of God. Our first battle is with our own demons. You can't cast out demons and still try to keep those beds. But let us remember that our battle is against the forces of evil and not against flesh and blood. Let us avoid the temptation to demonize the people who are lost and wandering like sheep without a shepherd, even when those people are us. Let us instead respond as Christ did, with compassion and with prayer. Let us bless and not curse. Let us listen for the hurt that needs healing in ourselves and in others. Let us listen for the Holy Spirit to give us voice. Let us respond to the authority of Christ and not from our own small, self-centered, and self-referenced ideas. Let us seek to manifest in all things and all places the kingdom of God. But how can I do this? Frankly, I can't. And neither can you, apart from the power and authority of Jesus. Cannot heal or welcome or reconcile or cast out demons. We're not even able to know or speak the truth apart from Christ. I like to kind of think about it as being five and helping my dad with projects. I'm sure that at times I was so much help that we could have completed the project in twice the time. But I recognize that my so-called help was not so much about the work as about the relationship. I was not so much helping as learning. When I'm truly honest, I can see and I can say that God does not need my help, but he instead invites me to grab my little tight tool belt and to join him in his work. But I will make a couple of practical observations. Notice where Jesus sends the 12. He does not send them to stand against Rome or to call the Samaritans to repentance. Jesus sends the 12 first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The invitation is to look inward first. Also, Jesus sends us in peace to seek others who are seeking peace. Let us do the same in these difficult times. To go in peace and to seek those who desire peace. Finally, after we spend time in the presence of Christ, as we go where we are sent, doing the things that Christ does, as we live lives in the presence of Christ and the power and authority of the kingdom of God, then and only then can we invite others into this life. For indeed, the harvest is plentiful, and the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest, and be prepared to be the answer to your prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.